some of the strongest cases have to do with mediums who were investigated by magicians or other potential debunkers who were there actually to prove that the mediums were fraudulent and came away believing that the mediums were genuine. So another famous case in the history of spiritualism or spiritism is the case of Eusebia Palladino. This was a peasant woman from Naples who also had a large repertoire of phenomena. Ironically, but in a way, interestingly, she would cheat. She admitted that she would cheat if given the chance. And that was reason enough for a lot of investigators to just write her off right from the beginning. But others realized that some of her phenomena apparently were being produced under conditions that were impeccable. And there's a long story here. I'll cut to the chase. Sure. She was eventually, the British Society for Psychical Research, under pressure from researchers in other parts of Europe, sent what they considered to be their fraud squad to Naples in 1908 to investigate Eusebia, and actually to go there for the purpose of showing that she was absolutely a fraud.
And were these people good without technological, you know, the technology we've got today?
Well, I mean, that's a double-edged sword. You know, there may not have been the means that we have now for detecting fraud, but there also wasn't means there for producing fraud,
right,
especially the large-scale, interesting stuff produced under the best of conditions.
Sure.
So the three investigators the Society sent to Naples, all three of them were experts at debunking fraudulent mediums. They had each of them had probably exposed 100 mediums or more.
And I bet they went into it wanting to do that.
Absolutely. That was the reason they were going.
Okay.
And one of them was a working magician, another was a good amateur magician, and the other just knew all the tricks of the trade. He even wrote a book on the methods of fraudulent mediumship. And they conducted 11 seances with Eusebia in decent electric light. They got almost 500 phenomena that they documented. Oh, and I should tell you that the way they did this was they had a stenographer present. This was a standard technique that the investigators were using with Eusebia. You know, they didn't have video cameras, so they needed some blow-by-blow way of documenting what was going on. So the stenographer sat in one corner of the room, and the investigators would call out how they were controlling the medium and what was happening. So one investigator might say, I'm holding Eusebia's left hand and left foot. Another would say, I'm holding Eusebia's right hand and right foot. And another would say, I'm sitting on Eusebia's lap. And then they would say, table levitation. And the stenographer would write down all the stuff as it was happening. So you could read back the transcripts of these 11 seances and really get, it's kind of boring after a while, but get a blow-by-blow description. What's even more interesting than that, and this gets to your point about the biases of the witnesses, after each seance, the investigators would write down their own reactions about what was happening. And you can read as the seances progress from one to the next how their resistance to the phenomena begins to crumble. And they're fighting against
themselves.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so you can't claim in cases like this that the witnesses were unprepared. They didn't know. I mean, they knew exactly what Eusebia's repertoire of phenomena were. They knew the tricks of the trade. They knew how phenomena like Eusebia's or some of them might be produced fraudulently. They were not taken by surprise. They had ample opportunity to examine the phenomena while they were occurring. You can't write off the testimony to the fallibility of memory because the stenographer was writing it all down.